It's supposed to be the happiest place on earth, but whenever I go there, I see miserable people on the verge of tears. Let's turn that around.
Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It's Free for All Friday here at the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Trent Horn, Catholic apologist and speaker. And I've always told people that if I was not a Catholic apologist, people say, what would you do if you weren't doing Catholic apologetics, if you weren't doing something that was full-time promoting, sharing, spreading, defending the faith? And I've always said to people, you know what I'd really like to do full-time if I wasn't doing this? Being a tour guide. I love giving tours to people. My wife always jokes about it when people come over to our house. I'm always like, let me give you the tour. Or when people come and visit us here in beautiful San Diego, California, I'm always like, well, let me drive you around and here, we'll go see this place. I'll tell you all about it. And then I know a great place we can go to get lunch. And I love taking people to hole-in-the-wall or independent restaurants. I am almost to the point where I have basically sworn off chain restaurants, by the way. I hate eating at chain restaurants because they're always mediocre. They just can't be good. It's funny is I have friends who only eat at chain restaurants. So, I mean, I'll indulge them. But I mean, when I was, in my early 20s, I would always go to Subway and eat. And oof, I don't know about you, but every Subway sandwich kind of tastes the same to me. And now I guess Subway is never going to be a sponsor of the Council of Trent podcast, which is completely fine. I'm more of a Quiznos guy myself. If I do have to go to a chain to get a sandwich, but I'd rather go to an independent deli or an independent barbecue place or an independent Russian restaurant, which I actually live 5 minutes away from here in San Diego. So my point is, I love giving people tours, showing them around, making sure that when they want to have leisure time, relaxing time, vacation time, that they can have a really good time and not be stressed on vacation. Isn't that the weirdest thing? We spend all this money, we go on vacations with our family, and then it's just terrible, especially if we go to a theme park like Disneyland or Walt Disney World. Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, he's got a great bit about going to Disneyland. He talks about how horrible and awful it is, and he says, my favorite ride was the air-conditioned shuttle on the way back to the airport. Well, if you don't like Disneyland, why do you go? Well, I go because I love my children. You know, there are people who go that don't have children. We call them weirdos. Now, I do have friends who do go, and I enjoy Disneyland as well, even before I had kids. Now, why is that? And I'm not somebody who would go, you know, every single week or something like that. I mean, not going to be able to afford that. There was a news story I saw recently. Guy goes to Disneyland every day 2,000 days in a row. And I'm like, that's the news? You can find it. You look it up. Like, guy goes to Disneyland 2,000 days. You can find that. But I do like going every now and then because I like that Disney, even though I disagree with many of their values, like the gay days they have at the park, for example. I was with a friend and I said, yeah, I just don't like their GAY days. And she's like, Trent, my kids are 10 years old. They can spell. I'm like, oh, well, gay days. Sorry. Talking to them about this, even obviously there's values of the Walt Disney Corporation that I do not agree with. I still give them credit that a place like Disneyland, I've never actually been to Walt Disney World, but I like the park in Anaheim because I've always lived close to it, that they put on a good experience. They know how to create a quality experience and how to tell a story well to engage a person, that their rides at Disneyland are not just mere carnival rides with kind of a Disney veneer on them. I mean, some of the older rides in Disney California Adventure were. Fortunately, that's changed. But Disneyland, a lot of thought goes into it. They don't have engineers. They have Imagineers who put very important little details into everything. When you go to the different rides around there, whether it's the tombstones at the Haunted Mansion have little in-jokes in them or just little details here and there you always see at a different time. I appreciate that. I'm one of those people who loves art that puts in little details. Like, I love people who make really intricate model railroads, for example. In fact, that's probably my plan when I retire. When I'm done with everything and I am at my ripe old age of, 41. Just kidding. Whatever that might be, when I retire, all I want to do is spend time with my grandchildren, if God blesses me with that, and build my model railroads, my little model railroads. That's why I love the Model Railroad Museum here in San Diego. But until that point, I like going to Disneyland. I've enjoyed the trips. But when I've gone, I've noticed seeing people who go there that I remember once I was walking through the park talking with some woman, and she said, we spent $1,200 to come here, and it was awful. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And we talked a little bit, and I see that on people's faces when they go. And then that just makes me kind of sad. The people who want to have a good time in their vacation, bond with their family, end up being sad and miserable or stressed or getting angry at one another. And it doesn't have to be that way. It has happened to me before. Even after becoming a quote-unquote pro traveler at Disneyland, I have had experienced my comeuppances. But through all of that, I've learned a lot of different tips and tricks along the way. So this podcast, as you could tell, has a narrower view to it. If you absolutely don't like Disney or Disneyland or have no interest in visiting that theme park, yeah, maybe today's episode's not for you. But maybe you'll find it interesting. At the very least, I think you'll appreciate the methods that I put into this. And if you go to any kind of amusement park, any kind of attraction that lots of people visit and swarm and is really busy, I think these same principles would apply. I've been to Disneyland several times. Well, as a kid, I went all the time. So I've been probably dozens of times now. And I remember actually when I took my friends on Memorial Day weekend, and we were worried, like, it's Memorial Day weekend, the park's going to be packed. And I said, don't worry, we're not going to wait in lines very long. And we went through the line, and we did not wait longer than 15 minutes for anything on Memorial Day weekend. And I remember we were waiting in line with my friend Tommy, who was part of our group who was there, and he wanted to get a churro, and it was off our schedule. And he was waiting in line for the churro, and I said, Tommy, this is going to be the longest wait we have today for your churro. And I think I timed it. It was like 14 minutes and 30 seconds. And later on at the end of the day, we were waiting in line. He's like, it's not going to be. I said, it will. The longest wait we had, I think, was about 12 minutes at the Storybook Land canal boats. I believe that was a trip my wife came with and some of my friends. That, or it might have been back when I was friends with people in Arizona before I ended up traveling to do my pro-life work. But I remember it was a co-ed group of guys and girls, like four or five of us, that we went and did that, just to have fun, wholesome fun as young adults. And I learned, and they were amazed, we went on Memorial Day weekend, we didn't have to wait in line. Now you're probably wondering, okay, what's the secret, Trent? How do you go on a really busy day to Disneyland and not have to wait in line? Well, I will tell you this, try to go on a day that's not as busy because it's just a lot easier. But regardless of when you go, there are certain steps you have to take and a framework you have to have when you look at visiting Disneyland. And I've never been to Walt Disney World, but many of what things I say to you in this episode will apply to the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World as well. Very, very similar. The parks are almost the same, differ in certain ways, but that's a whole different show. So here's my tips for how to visit Disneyland without having a giant headache or falling apart. Number one, understand that you need to plan this thing. The absolute worst mistake people have is that they show up at the park an hour or two after it opens and they have no plan. And they wander around from ride to ride, see everything has a long line, and they're waiting in the sun, and they're hungry, and they're miserable. That is easily the cardinal mistake people make when they go to Disneyland. And I tell them, you've got to plan this out like it's a military mission, like you're assaulting some kind of compound. Now, when I tell this, you got to plan everything out and have an itinerary, I get pushback from people. I remember my wife gave me pushback at one point when we were taking her sister-in-law and family to Disneyland several years ago. And she said, well, let them just see what they want to see, Trent. Let them see what they want to see. And I said, well, yeah. I do apologize, Laura. I didn't mean to give it a whine in that imitation. She made a valid point. She said, let them see what they want to see. Don't just impose your views on them. And I appreciate that. But at the same time, you should take what they want to see and put it in a plan, because sometimes seeing what you want to see or riding the ride you really, really want to ride, there's an attraction you really want to do. It's not wise to do that the first thing in the morning. You have to do it smart. And that's what I told her. I told her family. We made a plan. I sat down with them and said, what are the rides you really want to go on? What are the things you really want to do at Disneyland? And I put it down and I made a list. Now, I have kind of the protocol in my head to know the sequence, that the key to Disneyland is to go there and to do everything in a proper sequence to avoid waiting in lines. But how do you do that? Now, I've done it enough that I can do it off the top of my head. But if you are very new to this, there is a program that it's a software, actually, that can show you how to do this. It's called RideMax, RIDEMAX.com, RideMax.com. It's software for visiting Walt Disney World and Disneyland. It's a family that's done this for years. They go, I think, like every day except for Sundays, and they get wait time information for the ride. So you can even use their wait times for Saturday for Sunday. They're pretty similar. And they go and they've created an algorithm. You buy the software. I think it's like $10, $15, very inexpensive for a 90-day trial. And, you know, if you're only going once a year, you just buy a trial for when you go. So the RideMax software, you input what rides you want to go on. You click on a list, what rides you want to go on, and then you hit start, and it runs a program and tells you what order to do them so that you can minimize your wait in line. So you can always order RideMax, but I'll lay out some of the principles for you that I have learned, because I used to buy RideMax, and then eventually I saw kind of the principles that are involved, so I don't really use the program anymore. But I do recommend it for people who are first-timers going to Disneyland trying to figure everything out. So the plan. You need to plan. Don't worry about being type A. So once you have your plan, though, what do you do on the day when you visit? First, the biggest rule is get there early. Get there early, get there early, get there early. The first 2 hours of your day, the first 90 minutes of the day you were at Disneyland will set the stage for the rest of the day, especially if you only have one day to visit. You have to get there early. I am ruthless when I travel with people. I'm always, you know, being kind of passive aggressive about it. Like, we got to get out the door. We got to go now, because that will make it or break it for you, getting there early. And by early, I don't mean getting there just 30 minutes after the park opens. I mean getting to the park, to the gate, ticket in hand, at least 30 minutes before the gates open for people to enter into the park. If it opens at 8 a.m., being there at 7:30 on a busy time period, getting there an hour early. So you want me to wait for an hour? And I thought you said we wouldn't have to wait in line at Disneyland. You're telling me to get there an hour early? I'm waiting. I'm already waiting in line for an hour. It's a necessary sacrifice, because look at it this. In that time from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. or whenever the park opens, you're going to be waiting somewhere. You're going to be somewhere. Now, you could be in the comfort of your hotel room for an hour and then be miserable the rest of the day, or spend an hour in the waiting at the gates. And here's, if you're really smart, what you should do. Pack your breakfast. Pack a breakfast the night before, take it with you, and sit on the ground in front of the ticket gates and eat your breakfast there before you enter the park. Here's another giant mistake people make. You get there early, you get there in the morning at Disneyland, it's just open, and you go into a restaurant and have breakfast. No, do not do that. I know it can be magical to go to a Disney restaurant, but here's what I'll tell you. There is really good food at the Disneyland parks. Breakfast is really not one of them, though. I've never found a breakfast place at Disneyland that blew me away. And how do you make breakfast magical? At the end of the day, yeah, you can arrange the pancakes to look like Mickey Mouse. They're still pancakes. It's still eggs. It's still bacon. You can't really dress up breakfast food to make it really awesome and amazing. So I would recommend, when it comes to breakfast, don't have breakfast in the park. Don't waste time outside of the park at somewhere expensive, unless you want really a character breakfast with your kids. But meeting characters is something else. I'll talk about that briefly. Pack your breakfast. Take it with you. Sit in line before the gates open. Get there 30 minutes, 45 minutes to be safe, and eat there. You've had your breakfast. You're full. Keep some snacks and waters with you. Disney will let you take food and drink into the park. They don't let you take alcohol, but they'll let you take food and drink into the park. Take that. You'll want to have snacks with you and bottles of water you can fill up and things to drink, especially if you go in summer and it's hot. And it can get hot there. I remember this is where it went unhinged for me. I thought I was the pro at Disneyland, and I took my wife and her brother-in-law and sister before. So when I said sister-in-law before, I meant sister. I'm nitpicking myself, because I hope they will listen to this episode later. Took my wife, her sister, their family in October, and I thought I had everything planned out. We were staying on property at the Disneyland Hotel, which is magical, by the way, super expensive, but worth it for this reason. If you stay at the Disneyland Hotel or a Disney property like the Grand Californian, you get access to early entry to one of the parks. Depending on the day, you can get into Disneyland or Disney's California Adventure 1 hour before the general public. And man, that sets you ahead really far if you can pull that off well. And we had that. I thought we had everything set. And we had this planned out like 6 months in advance. It was at the end of October in California. I want you to guess how hot it was at Disneyland when we went. At the end of October, it was 102 degrees. It was a crazy Santa Ana winds confluence. I could not believe my eyes when I looked at the weather report. I said, that cannot be right. It's impossible. And sure enough, it was 102 degrees. Next week, 75. And so I was trying to take kids around Disneyland, 102 degrees, and that was testing me so much. And rides were breaking down. So do keep this in mind, even if you follow my tips that I give you. And I'm a type A person. I have to grow in this area. Sometimes you have to just know when to fold them and just try to have a good time and make the best of things when everything falls apart. And the first day I went to Disneyland, I had lost my mojo. I was like, oh, it has fallen apart here. Kids are crying, overheated. What am I doing? Next day, mojo came back. So apply the principles and usually they will help you. But so staying on property, if you can stay there a lot earlier, once again, you're there, you're getting in earlier and you're able to move ahead. So what you want to do, of course, is so eat breakfast there early, get in. And then when you're on your way, let's say you do get in there and you're one of the first people to get into the park. Now, what do you do? Your intuition, a first timer rookie mistake, is to think, oh, if I'm the first person here in the park, I'm going to run to the rides that have the biggest lines. I'm going to go to Space Mountain. I'm going to go to Splash Mountain. I'm going to go to Indiana Jones. I'm going to go to the rides that have 2-hour waits in the afternoon. I'll ride them first thing in the morning. It's just a 5-minute wait. That would be the case. That would be a smart thing to do if it were not for something, a program Disney has to allow you to skip lines. And that program is called FastPass. FastPass is a virtual queue, a virtual line. And what it is that you can now, there's a new updated version of this called MaxPass. I'll talk about that in a second. But the original FastPass, and this blew my mind when it came out, because when it came out, I found there was a way now to hack Disneyland and not wait in lines. How FastPass works is this. When the park opens, the original FastPass system worked this way. There were kiosks at Space Mountain or Indiana Jones, and you would go to them and put in your park ticket, and out would come a FastPass. So if you got to Space Mountain, let's say it's 11 a.m., you get to Space Mountain, you would get a little ticket that would come out that says return at, and it would depend on the time. It would have a return time, like come back at between 12:30 and 1:30 to do your fast pass. And so when you received that ticket from the machine, it saved you a spot in the fast pass line, a virtual spot, not like your A64 like Southwest or something. It saves you a spot in the queue to know that the machine only allows a certain number of people to come back during these windows. So let's say 100 tickets are grabbed. After 100 tickets, the return time moves from 12:30 to 1:30 to 2:30 to 3:30. That way, people who have the FastPass tickets, when they come back to the ride, they don't bunch up together. There's always a very short line with FastPass because there is a limited number of them. And if a lot of people grab FastPasses, sometimes they just run out. Radiator Springs Racers in California Adventure, for example. Sometimes that ride will be out of fast passes within an hour of the park opening because every spot in the virtual queue has been taken because in order to keep the line short, the virtual queue is short. There might only be a few hundred or thousand people allowed in it. But guess what? Fast pass is free. It's free. And so I remember we would do this and we would go and I was the runner. So we would have our group, we had my wife, her sister, their family, and I would take all their tickets and say, all right, here's the plan. You guys go and ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I'm going to run over to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. I'm going to get our fast passes right now. So I would go and get the fast pass, put on all their things, ticket, it says come back in an hour, okay? Go give them their fast pass. But here are the rules. You can only hold one fast pass at a time because you might think, oh, great, I'll get a fast pass for every ride at the beginning of the day. It doesn't work like that. You're only allowed to have one fast pass at a time. However, important rule to remember, sometimes the return times are very far. So let's say you go in the morning or early morning, 11 a.m., you get a fast pass for Space Mountain, but a lot of people have one, and it says come back between 3 and 4 p.m. Now, you normally, or I'll change the scenario a bit. Let's say you get one, it's 8 a.m., it says come back at 9 a.m. So I cannot get another fast pass until 9 a.m., until I have the opportunity to use my Space Mountain fast pass. But if it had said come back in 3 or 4 hours, like at noon, you can get another fast pass in 2 hours. You just have to keep that in track in your mind. Say you can only have one fast pass at a time, but you can get another one either when you use that previous one at its return time, or 2 hours, whichever is sooner. And that's important because the key to avoiding lines at Disneyland is accumulating these fast passes throughout the day. So in the morning, you don't want to ride the big rides like Space Mountain, Indiana Jones, because you can get fast passes for those. And a fast pass, you can get a 5-10 minute wait later on in the middle of the day. I remember we were walking through Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. There was a 90 minute wait and we had our fast pass. And Laura said, oh, I just feel really bad. Like, all these people have to wait. And I said, I don't feel bad. She's like, you're cruel. I'm like, well, I feel a little bad. But at the same time, this is a program everyone knows about. And it's a free program. They can avail themselves of this option if they want to. And we did. So, you know, good on us. We did that. And I encourage other people to use this program. It hasn't been overworked yet at the park. It's a great way to make sure that when you go and ride these rides in the morning, what you want to do is not the big rides. You want to ride the rides that don't have a fast pass. Ride the ones that don't have a fast pass. And in between those rides, grab fast passes. So you might send a runner for your group to go and get them. Or, so there's two options. You could send a runner for your group to the different rides with your tickets to get fast passes as you guys go on smaller rides. Or if you pay $10 per person, $10 per person per day, you can get max pass. And that allows you to get fast passes on your phone. And I think they may eventually transfer the system over just to max pass. But for now, you can get a paper fast pass for free at the ride itself, or you can just grab one on your phone. Very user-friendly, and it will be a game-changer for you. I think it is totally worth it. If you spent $100 to go to Disneyland, why not spend 10% more to reduce your wait time in lines by 2 or 3 hours? It makes perfect sense to me. So in the morning, find rides that are slow-loading popular rides. The number one culprit for this is Peter Pan's Flight. Peter Pan's Flight is easily the best dark ride in Disneyland, one of the best, except for, I mean, if you put aside Pirates of the Caribbean, the Haunted Mansion, Peter Pan is an amazing ride. They did a refurbishment, and it's great because you're in a car, and it feels like you're flying because the track is overhead. It's really done well, so it's very popular, but it doesn't have a fast pass. So my plan, whenever I go through and do this, I get to the park first thing in the morning, blast through the gate, get to Peter Pan's Flight, be the first person in that line, because that line will never go down earlier in the day. It will always be long the rest of the day. Get that ride done first. Then go to other dark rides in Fantasyland, get those done, maybe go over to the Finding Nemo submarines, or Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion. Anything that doesn't have a fast pass that is popular, do that in the morning. And in the midst of that, get fast passes for the popular rides. Then as the morning progresses, as your fast passes open up, go and use them. Go on the popular rides. Then here's what you do to really make this work. Before you get hungry, leave the park. Leave at 11 a.m. Don't decide to eat in the park when you're hungry, because you're going to be like me and you're going to end up at Red Rockets Pizza Port eating an $8 piece of pepperoni and sausage pizza, and it will not be worth it. So plan that ahead too. There are a lot of Disney food I don't think is very good, honestly, or worth it. But there are some restaurants in the park that I think are super worth it. Cafe Orleans in Disneyland has an awesome Monte Cristo sandwich. It is like a heart attack on a plate. I mean, it's a, you know, the Monte Cristo. It's got the powdered sugar, the toast, the raspberry sauce, the turkey ham, melted cheese, wonderful. Cafe Orleans is great. In Disney California Adventure, I think Flo's V8 Cafe is like the best diner ever, anywhere. And I've been to diners in New York City. It's really good food, actually. So look online. Bengal Barbecue is also really good in Adventureland in California. Adventureland also has a good place if you really need a snack, you didn't pack ahead. Buy the fruit there. Buy cool, moist, delicious fruit to have, better than, you know, chips or something like that at Adventureland there. But the key here is you want to plan ahead. That way you can leave the park and go and eat and take a breather. Especially if you visit during the summer, you'll want to go in summer, especially when it gets hot, get out of the park. Get out of there between noon and 3 p.m. because the lines are going to be long. It's going to be miserable. You want that break. And when I went to Memorial Day weekend, we saw a ton of rides. We didn't have to wait longer than 15 minutes. And we took a 3-hour break in the middle of the afternoon. We went back to our hotel rooms. We were able to take a nap, eat lunch. Awesome. It's a great check. It's a great refresher. And if you have children, it's so good for them. You don't want to drive them hard all day. Drive them hard in the morning, give them a nap in the afternoon, then return in the evening so you can enjoy Disneyland at night. Oh, and if you need a good place to eat lunch quickly outside the park, I like Earl of Sandwich in Downtown Disney. Really enjoy that. And if some of you are not tired, like I would take the group back during the afternoon, they would rest, take a 3-hour break, and I would still go and get fast passes for them because I was still amped up. That's something a runner in your group can do as well. And then you've gone through a lot, go back at night and just kind of enjoy the park. The park is beautiful at night. I love it there. And then you do some of the big rides at the very end when the crowds have died down. So something I would recommend. One last tip, if you want to do Disneyland well, give at least 2 days. 1.5 days at Disneyland and half a day at Disney's California Adventure. There's some new rides at California Adventure coming online. They're pretty good. I still don't know if that park is worth a whole day. You can do both parks in one day, but you got to be really, really good at this. But otherwise, if you want some more tips on that, I recommend RideMax. There's also a YouTube channel I like that talks about Disney. I think the guy's really lovable. I love his commentary. It's called Fresh Baked. Fresh Baked, like a fresh baked bun. Fresh Baked Disneyland. I like those videos in Disneyland. They're pretty good. I also like Offhand Disney. They've got some great Disney historical videos and things like that. So yeah, well, I guess I am a little bit nerdy in this regard. Could you tell? But hey, if you're going on a trip, and even these principles I think would help you at any other kind of amusement park or attraction, things like that. But I hope that is helpful for you here on Free For All Friday. And if you are a premium member, I think I'm going to do a poll or ask on our website what subjects, any random subject you want to hear about on Free For All Friday, I am happy to talk about. And if you'd like to voice your opinion about that, become a premium subscriber at TrentHornPodcast.com. For as little as $5 a month, you can hear bonus content. You can tell me, hey, Trent, I'd love to hear this Free For All Friday random topic, or I'd like to hear this Catholic topic. Just go and check out TrentHornPodcast.com to learn more about that. Thank you guys so much. And enjoy your trips to the happiest place on earth, the happiest place on earth, branded, so to speak. Because obviously, of course, happiness in the sense of vacation joy is one thing, but true happiness only comes when we rest in our Lord. And anything we do, whether it's work or whether it's leisure, let's keep him at the forefront of our minds. And I hope we'll continue to do that with you on this podcast. So thank you guys so much.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.